Designing robots is hard, but building them shouldn't be.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the A3, the Robot Industry Podcast. I'm your host. My name is Jim Beretta, and thank you for subscribing. And I'm happy to have Matt Wicks on our podcast today, and he works with Celestica. Matt has more than 25 years of experience in the robotics industry with expertise in the areas of logistics systems, motion and industrial controls, and software integration for large-scale manufacturing and distribution systems. He has extensive experience in the field of advanced robotic solution development, including robotic solution integration and design. Matt's a thought leader in the robotics industry, holds numerous robotics patents, and is a featured speaker at various robotic industry events. He holds a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from the University of Missouri in Rolla, and is a registered professional engineer in the state of Missouri. He currently serves on the Association for Advancing Automation Board of Directors, that's A3, and as the chairman of the Robotics Industry Association Board of Directors. Welcome to the podcast, Matt.
Thanks, Jim. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Noel, really pleased to continue the conversation. So I wonder, before we get started, can you please introduce Celestica for those people who aren't aware of what Celestica is?
Sure, absolutely. So Celestica is a global leader in high reliability design, manufacturing, and supply chain solutions. And we serve two primary sectors. One's focused in on designing and manufacturing networking infrastructure hardware, including next generation compute and storage products for data centers and edge markets. And the other division is our Advanced Technology Solutions division. When we provide engineering and manufacturing solutions for different markets, including aerospace and defense, and industrial and smart energy, capital equipment, and health tech. And then robotics obviously falls squarely in this division.
So you are, part of your job and part of your responsibility at Celestica is to go after the robot industry to get Celestica to build their robots. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're providing engineering and manufacturing solutions to companies such as robotic OEMs and companies that are developing and producing their own robots, and we're helping them be able to scale cost effectively their solutions.
So before we get in the meat of today, what kind of big picture trends are you seeing from your customers?
So being a robotics guy that I am, there's always some very interesting things happening in the robotics space. So for a while, we've been seeing a lot of trends in computer vision, machine learning, AI, and advanced computing really propelling robotics into new and novel spaces and being able to perform things that I really haven't been able to do before. So that's been a trend that we've seen, or I've seen. But there's an evolution of that trend that I'm also starting to see is not only just the bolting on computer vision or machine learning techniques to industrial arms, we're starting to see alternate form factors actually present themselves. I think it's actually probably some of the earliest examples of this actually kind of dates back a few years is in terms of like AMRs and AGVs. I mean, for a while, when AGVs first came out to the market, it was essentially, let's take a fork truck and let's bolt some sensors on and let's add some, algorithms and allow these things to autonomously navigate. And now we're starting to see, we've seen AMRs kind of go through this evolution where there's different form factors that are pretty unique to specific use cases and applications. So we're continuing to see that trend here in more articulated arm and more use case solutions around in logistics and in health tech fields.
So I'm kind of imagining that I've just started a robot company, and there, as per your introduction there, like it is a lot of work to develop a robot, and then you've got to build them and qualify them and check for quality. What's the motivation for a company to work with an outside resource to build their robot?
Yeah, well, like you said, let's face it, right? Designing robots, that is hard work to do. And, you have to have highly trained staff, software, electrical, mechanical, mechatronics engineers to be able to innovate these solutions to really become a leader in your field. And so then on top of once you've kind of like solved it, the technical component to this, now you have to be able to figure out, well, how do we manufacture these? And how do we manufacture these at scale? And to be able to expand your organization globally. And that's some non-trivial problems here. So there's a lot of hurdles in terms of, acquiring hardware and acquiring the skill sets and the engineering expertise to be able to manufacture solutions. All of the processes and procedures around manufacturing at high levels of quality a lot of these robotic solutions provide, is these are some pretty substantial challenges. And so that's where we see manufacturing capabilities, like with my organization specifically, where we can help bridge that gap and allow the engineering, the companies, to be able to keep that really high talent, high caliber engineering talent focused in on the tasks that are adding real value to their products versus, doing things like, documenting manufacturing processes or other kinds of things that are important and very critical to the success of the manufacturing, but not necessarily the best value add for some of these, some of the high caliber talent doing the development work.
Yeah, it's. I think you had me at scale, right? That's the thing, right? Once you've got that robot developed, how do you scale it? So, who's your bullseye customer when you think about robot companies?
Yeah, so the bullseye customers are those ones that are entering to that scale, that growth phase of their company's life cycle. You start out in the mom and pop shop in the garage, and you're putting your machines together, you're putting your robotic solutions together. Really, you're all in on solving that technical piece. You're doing a lot of the R part of the R&D. But as you get out there and have some successes in terms of, initial customer deployments, successful pilots, now you need to be able to say, hey, this thing works great. Now, instead of one or two or five of these things, I need 500 of these systems, or maybe, several thousand. And so then the orders of magnitude really of complexity go up. So idealistically, that the customers that I think would benefit most from the some of the skills that come within from a manufacturing partner are those that you're just entering into that transitionary phase of scaling up. It's never really, honestly, it's never too soon to engage, and it's probably best to engage sooner than later. Really, as you're looking to transition, is a good time to engage.
So who owns the intellectual property when they're engaging with a company like Celestica?
Yeah, so in general, our customers own all the IP associated with the engineering and development activities. Certainly there's always multiple different ways to approach development, but in general, the way we work with our customers, that's their IP.
And what tools do you use with your clients? I'm kind of often thinking like Zoom and other things, but what are some of the things that you're using now when you're going down that path?
Well, it seems like we use virtual tools more often than not anymore, but maybe that's coming to an end. But in terms of the software tools that we use, a lot of the 3D design tools, as well as simulation tools to support the design and development. But there's also, when I think about tools, I also think about tools in terms of process tools. Mm-hmm. Things like how do we guide our customers into the transition of manufacturing, performing DFX, DFA kinds of activity. Also processes tools around, change management and generation of work instructions and electronic documentation and our quality processes and all those kinds of things. Those are all tools that we bring to bear here to support our customers when they're looking to scale their solutions. They all need to come together to be able to support a successful NPI program.
And what about spare parts and service and documentation? Are those all services as well that you offer, or is that left up to the robot OEM?
It certainly is the services that we offer, and it really depends on the level of service that our customers require and their go-to-market approach. A lot of companies leverage integration partners to do deployments, but a lot of companies, specifically around health tech, leverage our spare parts, service, repair and refurbishment kinds of services as well. product documentation, even some logistics services to be able to deploy their solutions across the world.
And so do you find that you're working with startup companies and kind of mid-growth companies, or who do you find you're starting with a little bit?
Well, I have a personal fondness for what the startup companies do. You know, I think that they tend to be on the leading edge of what's happening and pushing those boundaries of what can be done. And they're really, you know, they're laser focused on solving their end customer problems. And so definitely they're from an engagement with my organization, there is some value in understanding the benefits of partnering with a manufacturer. But, you know, as these companies, these startups go from building out their prototypes to, you know, really saying, you know, hey, we need to be able to be successful here, we need to be able to manufacture at scale. That's really when it makes some sense to engage with a company like ours. In really the mature engineering services, the deep engineering expertise, all of the supply chain knowledge, all of those kinds of things can greatly help with that transition and allow those startups to be able to focus on, you know, the adding real value to their end customers.
It's so funny because, you know, especially in the startup world, you need such different skills at such different times. That's what one of the things I think it makes some value to look for an outside company to build product for you.
Yeah, right. It's like when you go to form your company, it's like, okay, what are the primary kinds of talent and resources do I need to bring to bear here? And again, like I was mentioning earlier, you know, a lot of that focuses on, you know, software and machine learning and computer vision and, you know, really solving and maybe even advanced mechatronic designs. But then, you know, as those companies mature, those products mature, then that need shifts. And so then you're kind of faced with the choice. It's like, well, now do I go and spend, you know, a sizable chunk of money on buying a lot of manufacturing equipment and hardware and then scaling up your own engineering services to support manufacturing? Or does it make sense to partner with a company like ours?
And one of the things that we talk a lot about in the podcast is this, we used to call it a looming labor shortage, but that shortage is right on top of us. And so hiring manufacturing professionals is a really tough thing right now. And you're right. It just takes a lot of energy, especially zapping out of a startup.
Yeah. There's a lot of demands that are placed upon those startup companies and those companies that are in this kind of growth phase of a lot of pressures, I should say, to, you know, do things faster and smarter and quicker. And sometimes scaling up the resources internally is may not necessarily be the right answer.
So my big question for you is, why are robots so hard to manufacture?
So I'll probably mess up the quote from Elon Musk, but he was talking about when he was building cars, and I think he's even applied this to rockets as well. It's like, I think he said it's 10 times harder to actually manufacture the robotics than to do a prototype. And I think he said it's actually 100 times more difficult for cars. And I think that is a recognition that there's just a lot of complexities coming that come with the process associated with manufacturing and manufacturing at production level scale. And at the end of the day, it's a lot of the things, they aren't necessarily rocket science, but there's a lot of things that need to be managed and managed effectively. The quality processes, the testing, the validation, the regulatory documentation requirements. Really, when you pile all those things, it can be overwhelming. And quite honestly, a distraction to the core business and those precious developmental resources that companies have. And so by leveraging the qualified manufacturing partners, you know, who are already skilled and very adept at performing in these areas, it removes that burden from the development teams and really gets them focused in on those higher value-added items.
one of the things that outside companies are good at is driving costs out of a design. Can you talk a little bit about that for the audience?
Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of focus in on supply chain. I mean, especially now with it, like in the semiconductor market, about you know, some of the challenges with actually just delivery, it can be a pretty large burden for companies that aren't necessarily mature in their management of their supply chain, and then those costs are really impacted. Even above and beyond just the supply chain, I mean, costs are, there's a lot of different factors that go into the aspects of driving out costs, that may be utilizing automation to reduce the amount of labor required to manufacture the products. There's also, like I mentioned, the supply chain capabilities. There's also support in terms of DFX areas in value engineering, where added changes or changes to the designs of the products to make them more manufacturable is another, you know, thread to pull on here to drive down costs and become more effective to be able to scale your solutions.
Thanks, Matt. One of the questions that I've always been interested in the contract manufacturing world is, who owns the bill of materials?
Yeah. So at the end of the day, we talked a little bit about IP. I mean, at the end of the day, the customer owns the bill of material, but there certainly is some ownership in terms of change management and change management process in bill of material validity that the manufacturer owns. You know, there are changes that happen. It's just, it's inevitable. And certainly when you're pushing the envelope in terms of technology, sometimes they happen more often than you'd like. And so having a good partner with good processes in place, good change management process that can maintain those bills of material, be able to understand the risks associated with the bills of material, and then also have secondary and tertiary backups to their supply chains to be able to support that those volume growth. So those are all very critical kinds of things.
So if I'm a startup company, or maybe I'm manufacturing a lot of robots right now, and I'm just seeing increased demand, how does one get started if they think they should outsource their robot build?
Well, it really depends on where the company, where they are as a company. Many companies start out at the end of the day, leveraging, you know, local job shops, local resources here to provide assemblies, sub-assemblies, prototypes, and, you know, doing some custom build. But as those companies grow, this is really where they need to start looking at, you know, partners that can help them scale to the fullest of their capacity. It's always best to engage early in that development cycle. And the earlier engagement that leads to better insight to prevent any kind of major roadblocks that you might occur down the road. Certainly I've been on the design side of the business as well. And, you know, you can make some decisions up front that technically may be a good choice, but then can really turn to bite you down the road in terms of manufacturing at scale. And so having a partner there along the way to certainly understand what you're doing in terms of design expertise, but then also have that insight into those supply chain and manufacturing, those are pretty beneficial things to have.
Matt, have I missed anything in our conversation so far today that you wanted to chat about?
You know, I thought we covered some great ground today. You know, we really wanted to just convey that, you know, there are a lot of challenges in building complex robotic systems, and these companies can really achieve their goal by and freeing up their resources to drive their companies to the aspirations that they have. So I really do appreciate you having me on podcast. You know, I love what you're doing here, and I think, you know, you've been bringing on some great great guests and have some fantastic content as well.
Thanks for that, Matt. How can our listeners get in touch with you if they want to find out more?
Well, you can certainly visit our website at celestica.com. And I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit, so you can feel free to reach out to me directly through LinkedIn as well.
Thanks again. Our sponsor for this episode is Earhart Automation Systems. Earhart builds and commissions turnkey solutions for their worldwide clients. With over 80 years of precision manufacture, they understand the complex world of robotics, automated manufacturing, and project management, delivering world-class custom automation on time and on budget. Contact one of their sales engineers to see what Earhart can build for you. And Earhart is spelled E-H-R-H-A-R-D-T. I'd like to thank and acknowledge our partner A3, the Association for Advancing Automation. They're the leading automation trade association in the world for robotics, vision and imaging, motion control and motors, and artificial intelligence technology. Visit automate.org to learn more. And I'd like to thank our partner Painted Robot. Painted Robot builds and integrates digital solutions. They're a web development firm that offers SEO and digital social marketing, and they can set up and connect CRM and other ERP tools to unify marketing, sales, and operations. And if you'd like to get in touch with us, that means me, at the Robot Industry Podcast, you can find me, Jim Beretta, on LinkedIn. We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Be safe out there. Today's podcast was produced by Customer Traction Industrial Marketing, and I'd like to thank my nephew Chris Gray for the music, Chris Colvin for audio production, my partner Janet, and our partners A3, Painted Robot, and our sponsor, Earhart Automation Systems.